Silk Touch by Naro Moreau. After a pillaging, Steed finds Ed wearing a dress and shows him exactly how much he appreciates the sight. Notes. I was compelled to exorcise this idea out of my brain that turned out much more soft than I imagined. All my heart to Hat Knitter and Summer of Spock for the beta reading, and to Stevie for yelling at me all the way. Heart. Chapter 1. The recent pillaging had gone extremely well. Not too much blood and just a reasonable amount of violence. The Dutch captain of the last ship had barely offered any resistance. Ever since Steed had come back, past the whirling haze of settling again in Ed's arms, and after they had left Izzy in the Republic of Pirates, days aboard the Revenge had rolled by pleasantly. Still, right this moment, there's nothing Steed wants more than to find Ed and spend the final streaks of the evening kissing him, until their lips are red and messy with the shared heat of their unrestrained want. It's a bit frightening to feel this way, so vibrant and alive, holding a treasure in his arms that's positively painful to think about losing. Steed steps into his cabin with ease and excitement, as if reaching home, and he supposes he is. Here, over the balancing of the combers, where his heart lives. He shuts the door softly, breathing in the sweetly scented breeze of the ocean coming from the open window. There's a trail of leather over the hardwood, and Steed's skin feels tight, imagining that perhaps Ed is already waiting for him in the tub, soaked and welcoming, as always after a plundering. Ed? A muffled fuck reaches Steed, coming from the auxiliary wardrobe, and he can't suppress a flare of worry. But when he reaches the door, the sight that meets him is enough to blaze clean any coherent thought from his mind. Darling? Steed shuffles forward on unsteady feet. His arm hangs heavy at his side, the pads of his fingers itching to reach forward, to touch Ed, who's half bare, shifting where he's standing, trying not to fall forward, dressed as he is in an exquisite jade silk dress. It's evident the cut of the bodice is too small for him, the neckline haphazardly hanging over the stretch of his chest, just right above his nipples. He's pulled his hair up in a ponytail, and flushed and damp with sweat, he's such an alluring, stunning sight that Steed finds it nigh impossible to resist him. The situation is new and thrilling, yet unfamiliar enough to give Steed pause. Despite the many hours they have spent redefining their relationship in the bed and desk, and floor, and on one memorable occasion, in the crow's nest, Steed still doesn't know what Ed wants from him in this situation. "Hey, man, I thought today was story night. I thought you were busy," Ed says, voice a little taut around the edges, pulling violently at his sleeve and effectively avoiding Steed's eyes. I was just checking the loot, you know, to sell the rest, see what we can keep. All that shit. There's an apology there. A scratch of embarrassment from the collapse of Edward Teach and Blackbeard. Things that he desires, things he won't allow himself. Not yet. Steed knows this, consciously. In a safe and logical part of his mind, he knows this. But he's faced instantly with the brunt of his desire, with the heat of his own lips wanting nothing more than to press against the side of Ed's throat, against the roundness of his shoulder where it escapes the fabric. Steed's always so curious and wanting when it comes to Ed, so willing to do and say so much he never has before with anyone else. It must be evident in the way his gaze coasts over Ed, up and down, all lust, so strangely burning, when he'd always thought nothing could ever make him feel quite like this, ignite this heat in his stomach. Not since he'd learned how perfectly Ed felt, tight and hot around his cock, how eager he always was for Steed's cum. There's a splash of red over Ed's neck as he swallows rapidly, and Steed can't stop himself from saying, "Oh, that looks lovely on you. Would you mind if I help?" Ed's eyes flick up, frayed and slightly frightened, before his brows knot up dark and confused. "You what?" "Just that I think that's a marvelous piece of clothing, and that you're wearing it rather well," Steed adds, taking a step forward until he's breathing Ed in, pushing his nose into the line of his neck. Sweat and heat, and the lavish, lustrous scent of sea spray in golden sunlight. Steed shivers. I think I might be able to help you put it in place." "Would you?" Ed says, rough and clipped. "And then what?" Steed can hear the fear of mockery and ridicule slanting Ed's words, as if he can't imagine that Steed's only reaction could be unbridled, dizzying, maddening desire. It's another layer to peel away between them. Steed curls his fingers around the dip of Ed's waist, turns him around, and presses him to the wall. He pushes his hips into the light swell of Ed's ass, making him feel the shape of his hard cock through the layers of silk, breathless at his own daring. "Well, that depends entirely on you," Steed says, thready. "But, oh, darling, you look exquisite like this. Quite fetching." It's well past the lines of propriety, of what Steed has always been told is acceptable and condoned, being this demanding. But everything falls apart with the feel of Ed in his arms, the warmth of him so stark. Steed grinds against Ed, his cock flush and stiff in his breeches. "Fuck, Steed!" Ed throws his head back, ruts the tight curve of his ass intently, shamelessly against Steed, encouraging rolls that do nothing but send Steed gasping. He seizes the opportunity to mouth and tongue at the cord of Ed's neck, at the shell of his ear, his own hands grabbing folds of the bodice that looks obscenely stretched across the breadth of Ed's body. Ed groans, "You're gonna ruin my fucking dress, you bastard." And it's permission, as close as Ed can come to admitting this is something he wants, which has Steed thrumming with yearning impatience to sweep hands over skin, to gasp and kiss and brush wet lips over Ed so he can have his taste for another hour or so fizzing in his mouth. And in the midst of it all, of this need and the heated press of arousal, it's satisfying to know he can understand Ed's silences, the things he's perhaps still not ready to voice out loud, that they have one another in the spangled, fractured, limitless canvas of the sea. "I'll buy you another. I'll buy you 10 or 100, Steed breathes, now pulling up the weight of the petticoats and the skirts until he's sliding hot fingers over the inside of Ed's bare thighs. He's wearing nothing underneath. "Oh, you're such a scandalous thing." He cups the hang of Ed's balls before grasping the hot line of his cock, making him whine, while his own erection is a throbbing pulse between his legs, breeches now soaked with pre-cum. "Fuck's sake," Ed groans, letting his head hang between his shoulders, the muscled flare of his arms trembling while he tries to hold on to the wall. "Just shut up and fuck me. Haven't I taught you anything about keeping me waiting?" Steed buries a laugh in the roll of Ed's shoulders, kisses wet the inked skin. "And what have I told you about patience?" His free hand skims up the spread of Ed's chest, pulling the bodice down unceremoniously until he can thumb at those small, tight nipples. Ed whimpers. "Oh, fuck." Trapped in Steed's hands, he can't do anything but let himself be fondled and touched while Steed knuckles that soft place beneath Ed's balls, drawing keening sounds out of him. He's completely at Steed's mercy, cock twitching, thighs quivering, which is a deeply intoxicating thought. "Give me your goddamn cock, or so help me," Ed says. "I'll make you sleep in the fucking brig." All right, don't fuss." Steed slides his open mouth over the ridge of Ed's shoulder blades, feeling him tremble, and before Ed can object, Steed glides out of the room to retrieve the oil. It takes him only a few seconds, even with his wobbly legs, and when he's back, seeing Ed flushed, dress wrecked and askew, wet cock in his hand, is hint enough to let him know that this will be a rather short experience. "I'm here, darling," Steed says, his erection a pressing weight under his breeches he's doing his best to ignore. "Only let me..." His voice trails off in a rustle of silk while he lifts Ed's petticoats again to find the tight squeeze of his rim with his oiled fingers. It hasn't stopped being an overwhelming experience, having Ed so vulnerable for him. Being allowed to see what probably no one else sees, and to give air the care he so adamantly refuses. Ed arches into him, eager and impatient as always, angling his hips so Steed's slick fingers fall into the tight crease of his buttocks. "Come on. Come on, just like that." No matter how dire Steed's need is, how much he viciously needs to bury himself deep inside Ed, this is something he'll never rush. This chance to give Ed a thread of softness, a sliver of care in a way he can't refuse, when Steed finally pushes two fingers into the heated grip of Ed's hole, Ed's moaning freely into the tucked away space, hitching his hips back, taking Steed's fingers to the knuckle in a wet slide. "Too slow. Shit. Give me more." Ed leans slightly forward, fingers of one hand's blade flat and final on the wall, the other arm moving up and down as he works himself slowly. But Steed knows him. knows how much, even in their time together, in the wild, sweat-damp stretch of them both joined close, Ed still likes to make things hurt. He'll refuse oil, or drive himself to the point of tears, overstimulated and overtaxed, sitting on Steed's erection, hole stretched beyond comfort, rim pulsing spit-slick on cock and fingers. And Steed usually complies, gives Ed what he asks, but not always. Certainly not now, when he's a grasping mess of breathy delight, all the soft noises coming from somewhere undisturbed and gentle, a special place that allows silks, that allows fine things to wrap around him. "Relax for me, darling," Steed says, wrapping his free hand around the one Ed has pumping his own cock, forcing him to stop, before bunching the skirts at Ed's waist to have a better view. "We have all the time in the world." Thankfully, Ed is past words, whining softly when Steed presses three fingers into the hot clench of him, feeling how Ed spreads his legs wider as if to find a more solid stance. His whole body is an invitation to touch and kiss. Ed is mellow, devoid of that frantic, haunted energy that usually suffuses every part of Ed's life. Steed adores him always, but he likes him most in this honest version of himself, gorgeous and wild and his. Ed gives a bright, shuddery sound of pleasure when Steed pulls his fingers out, replaces them with his thumb to pull at the shiny rim, to watch it pulse empty and wanting for the fill of a cock, his own face flushing at his lewd greediness. Steed! He tucks at his breeches with desperate, impatient movements, afraid that a light brush over his reddened length will be enough to undo him. "I'm here. I'm here," he whines, his pulse rabbiting away under his skin. He fixes his oiled cock to Ed's rim, unable to tear his eyes away as he pushes in, glistening and wet, seeing how Ed stretches wide as Steed eases deeper and deeper until he's flush with Ed's buttocks. A moan cracks in Ed's mouth. "Ugh! Fuck! Feels so good!" They've done this before, once, twice, 100 times over, and yet it's always as arresting and exhilarating as the first time. Steed moves, fucks into Ed with practiced knowledge of how he likes it when he lets himself be treasured, all soft kisses littered on his neck, a slow grinding pace to fill his ass. "You like this," Ed says, sounding surprised, breath punched out in between Steed's careful thrusts. "Me, with the dress." There's no need to lie. He likes Ed, loves Ed in any form, in all the ways, wrapped in leather, silk, or brocade. "I do." Steed bites his lip to drag out this moment, trying not to think about how hot and slick Ed is, how he pushes back as if desperate to have more of Steed inside of him. It makes Steed moan high. "Oh, I'll buy you a lovely pair of silk stockings if you want. I'd love to tear them from you while I fuck you." Ed groans, hole squeezing wet around Steed's cock. "What?" A whimper cracks in his throat while Steve drives deeper inside him, words torn in gasps. "Never had the chance to fuck a cheap whore in Port Royal. Is that it?" There it is again. The tetchy refusal to accept he might be made for finer things, for love and understanding, and lace, perhaps, if he fancies it. Steed is careful, so careful, has long already realized that the more Ed bites vicious, the more fragile he is. He slides his hands gently to Ed's hips, then down to his warm thighs, pulling him closer, pressing little indents of messy fingers while stretching him open in quick and hard pushes. "I've never had the chance to fuck the person I love while he looks so beautiful, so delighted," Steed says, angling his hips to go deeper, his own thighs jerking at the feel of how well Ed takes him, all whines in wet heat. "There's nothing cheap about you, Edward Teach," Steed adds, while Ed tenses beautifully at the words, hips moving, rocking back in messy circles. "To the last blot of ink, to the last hair on you, you're a treasure." The long line of Ed's body goes taut, a bitten-off shout that's definitely Steed's name, and a curse escaping him. Both his hands are still on the wall, and in a rapid, agonizing, exquisite second, Steed realizes Ed's come with nothing but Steed's cock in his ass. The burst of his orgasm stings, lights him up all over, and Steed spends warm inside Ed until he's panting, pulling out positively wrecked and weak at the knees. Even if he wants to say something, Steed finds his throat is parched, and he only cups Ed's face, tilts it to the side to kiss a warm exhale into his mouth. Ed smiles, breathes him in, pressing their foreheads together, and says that all that he has to say with the same pointed silence and squeeze of fingers. "Can't believe how stupid happy you make me," he finally lets out in a thread of a voice, as if it's a slow truth that's taking its time to sink in, before he adds, "You fucking asshole, you made me ruin my dress." Steed turns Ed around to press their lips together one more time and laughs loud, heart thundering. "I told you, I'll buy you another." "Oh, sweetheart, we're pirates," Ed says, mischievous and absolutely radiant. "Why buy when you can plunder?" The end.